Great job, team. Thanks. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours this day from God the Father and from our living and reigning Savior Jesus. Amen. Good morning, St. Luke's. It's so great to worship with you today. Most of you are back in your normal seats. Last week was confusing. Some of you are in different spots. This gives me peace and comfort to know some of you just a row or two off. It's okay. But I'm so thrilled we get to worship together. I'm Dan Weber, lead pastor here, and I'm humbled to serve with so many wonderful people. This morning we are back in this white book here. It says the story on it. The Bible is one continuing story of God and His people. This book isn't the whole Bible. It's cut out chunks so that we can move through the story of Scripture. There are little italicized paragraphs added by the editors here and there to help connect the dots so that we can make our way through the plot line. You'll find these in the pews in front of you. They cost us $5, but if you don't have $5 and you want one of these, just take it. We want to be in God's Word together. You might find one of these in the pew rack in front of you. You might find one buried in your trunk somewhere or underneath 12 magazines at home or underneath your bed, and that's okay. We're taking time this year to move through the story of Scripture, and for the 21 weeks leading up to Easter, we went through the story of the Old Testament, and beginning this morning, we're going to take 10 weeks to make our way through the story of the New Testament. And so what that means is you are invited to join in reading God's Word with God's people. Those first 21 weeks, it was a nice kind of cadence to my week where I would read that chapter week by week. And then during Lent, when we didn't have the story, I felt a little aimless. I don't know about you. I sort of stopped being in God's Word as consistently as I wanted to be. And so now is kind of a reset time. Some of you maybe read chapter 22 in preparation for the day. If so, gold star, you get a cookie. If not, you can skip 22 and move right to 23 this week, or you can try to read both. Chapter 22 is pretty short. But next Sunday, in our adult Bible study, in our Sunday school, and in our various discipleship opportunities, we're going to be digging into chapter 23 next week and chapter 22 this week, looking at the unfolding narrative of God's work in the world, revealed through His Word. Lots of you have encountered my children. They've bumped into many of you. They've probably spilled some of your coffees. They've probably stepped on your toes every now and then or crawled underneath your legs while you're worshiping. I've got three kids, and they're very different from one another. My oldest, my little girl, Alexis, she's the kind of girl who loves to hold daddy's hand. She's daddy's little girl. She doesn't like to stray too far from me, especially if we're out in public. She likes to stay right there with me. And if she's going to walk off, it's going to be very pretend, and she'll kind of walk, but she's going to look to make sure I'm there, you know? She was the kind of kid when she was little, if she didn't want to leave, I could just say, well, Lexi, we're going to go now and take two steps, and she would come running and didn't want to be left behind. That's my daughter. And then I've got two boys. My middle son, Micah, literally the first time we stepped foot in St. Luke's building, we lost him. Remember that, Kendra? We lost him. He was gone. And not just like, oh, he turned the corner, I wonder where he is. Like, he was gone. We had to stop all the staff. Everybody had to come, like, spread out. And we had to find my then 5-year-old little guy because he was gone. And he didn't know where he was. We didn't know where he was. And he was, like, underneath the preschool stairwell down by the security door. God. I grab him by the hand, you know, come with me, and maybe a little harder than I needed to, but I had to make a point. And then I've got another little guy, Titus. He's 3. Oh, man. He got away from me a couple weeks ago when Pastor Aaron was preaching. I was about the 3rd row or 4th row over here, and I lost him. I'm a good dad, I think, but I lost him. And I wasn't worried about it. He couldn't go too far, but I was kind of looking around to see where people's legs would be moving, but I didn't see people squirming, and I didn't know where he was until I saw him, like, up here, like, while Aaron was preaching. Goodness gracious. We were at this Charlotte, North Carolina airport this last week going to see my parents, and we're at a long layover, mechanical stuff. It's 1 a.m. We're just sitting in this airport. Everyone's staring. It's quiet. And then I hear this kind of uproar of people giggling and laughing, and what had happened was Titus got away. I've never owned one of those backpack belts or those backpacks with monkey leash, but Titus got away, and he had walked through some stranger's legs from behind. He's three. I mean, he's not a little, and that person wasn't expecting a little person to come through their legs. And then they all giggled, and we looked up, and Titus took off, just not looking back, just gone. So I had to run through the airport and grab him, and I've got a good grip on his hand, and he does that thing that kids do when they don't want to hold your hand. You know, have you ever held a kid's hand who doesn't want their hand to be held? They do this weird thing where they like try to go limp and like try to get disentangled. They're like Houdini. They're trying to get out of your hand, and they're doing everything. Not silly pulling, but they've got this little wiggle trying to extricate their hand from yours, and then, you know, his legs just go limp, and you're sort of like dragging him down the airport with his toes pointed backwards. It's for your own good. I love you. Holding on to his hand just for life, because he doesn't know what's good for him. And I share all that because I think that's the right frame of mind to take us into the text of God's word. When Mary and Joseph lost Jesus for days, like they were a full day away. Anybody seen Jesus? Dang it. And then a full day back, and then it says after 3 days they found him. And I imagine Mary had a good grip on his hand after that. Like, you love your kids and you want to keep them safe anyway, but if you know this kid is supposed to grow up and do something big for the world, you're gonna, like, don't mess this up, you know? Like, you're making me look bad. And so Mary's got this, like, for the life of me, kid, grip on Jesus' hand, that kind of white knuckle, holding on for life. And I want you to have this image of Mary and Jesus, mother and son, hand in hand. And you can imagine that embrace in a variety of settings and contexts. Mary and Jesus, mother and son, hand in hand. Now, maybe it's like the return trip after Passover, where it's a white-knuckled death grip dragging him along. Or maybe it's just a busy day at the market, and Mary and Jesus, mother and son, are walking hand in hand, and she's simply leading him to make sure he gets through. Or maybe they're off to synagogue to hear God's word and to pray with his people, and it's a joyful evening, and the mother and her little guy are kind of swinging their hands as they walk. My little guys will sometimes, without telling us, grab my hand and grab Charlotte's hand and then, like, just go limp, you know? But they're walking hand in hand. And if you can use your imagination and zoom in even closer on that embrace, just to let your field of vision be filled with just these two hands, and the mother's hand with her longer, slender fingers wrapped around her little boy's hand. And maybe it's a warm day and their hands are both sweaty and gross and weird. Or maybe it's a cool, rainy morning and you can see that the knuckles on the outside taking the wind and the water are kind of pink from the cold. Mary and Jesus, mother and son, hand in hand. Or maybe they just got finished giving Jesus his bath and his fingers were a pruny. Maybe they're just sitting at the dinner table praying and holding hands across the table. If you can imagine that embrace, that tender expression of love that comes from simple motion of a thumb when two people are holding hands. Just that gentle, kind of caress is the right word. But that tender gift of affection as two people embrace one another. Mary and Jesus, mother and son, hand in hand. And I want to use that image as an opportunity to reflect on God's word this morning with three single Bible verses that invite us into God's living word for us today. And that image will serve as a kind of focal point for reflection. And the first point, the first truth from Scripture that I want us to chew on is this. As a human, Jesus has human hands. I know that sounds so obvious. I read the chapter this week, and every single page, I was like, yeah, I know, yeah, uh-huh, yeah. Angels, shepherds, word of God, take on flesh, virgin will conceive. Yeah, I know. Heavenly company, yeah, I get it. And I got through, and I said, wait a second. Every single paragraph I just read was ridiculous. Just unbelievable thing. So it's a very familiar story, but I want us to slow down. Just picture Mary and Jesus, mother and son, hand in hand. And as a human, Jesus has human hands. If you want to open up your copy of the story to page 309, if you forgot yours this morning, that's okay. Grab the one in front of you. Get there before your neighbor does, quick. The bottom of page 309. 309 isn't numbered, so you can find 310 and go to the previous page. But the very, very last line on page 309 is John chapter 1, if you're in your regular Bible. Familiar words, perhaps, from chapter 1, verse 14. This is the beginning of John's gospel, where John takes us back to the creation of the world. And John hearkens to the opening lines of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word, which was God, which was with God, the bottom of page 309, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We worship and we believe in an enfleshed God. Our God is not just this disembodied eternal spirit, but our God is the God who created this world. He not only created it, but He called it good. And He not only called it good, but He entered into creation Himself. So that Jesus, it sounds just so obvious, but Jesus has human hands. You can look at your hand for a moment if you want, or your neighbor's if you want to be creepy, but look at your hand for a moment. I remember being a little boy and looking at my dad's hands and noticing that, like, the creases in his hand were different than the creases in my hand. Remember? Do you ever do that? Remember that? You kind of, like, when you move your hand, you can see the different lines, and your lines are different than the person next to you. And I remember my dad's lines went a different way, and, as little kids can hold their parents' hand, I was just kind of manipulating his fingers and looking at it. And we've got fingerprints. I don't know what your fingerprints look like. I know Pastor Aaron and I have both been fingerprinted. When to go to seminary, you have to be to make sure you're not a crazy person. And so we're legitimate. We've got clean records, FBI background checks. But your fingerprint is yours. Nobody else has that. And Jesus has fingerprints. Like, He has actual fingerprints. So it's conceivable, like, He had touched some clay at some point, making a pottery at home or whatever, and maybe somewhere in Israel right now, there's a pot of clay with Jesus' fingerprint on it. Like, objectively, that's God's fingerprint. He's got hands that He had to learn how to use. When my Micah, my middle son, was first learning how to eat and do things, we try to figure out which handed he is. You know, is he left-handed or right-handed? And we're seeing which hand makes less of a mess when he's eating. And kind of like some days I'm like, hey, he's pretty ambidextrous. And some days he's neither dexterous. And it's just like, all right, throw a ball with that hand. Okay, that was ugly. Try the other hand. That was bad too. You know, he's trying to like learn, we have to learn how these things work. And, you know, little things like doing a button. You know, as an adult, you can do a button without thinking about it. You ever watch a little kid try to use like buttons? Like it's not intuitive. You have to learn how to use muscles, so then you have to develop this muscle memory, or tying shoes. I don't know how to tie my shoes. I mean, I do. I can tie them, but I can't explain it to you. It doesn't make any sense to me. I just do this little loop-de-doop thing, and then they're tied. But to like watch my kid in reverse try to tie their shoes, I'm just like, no, that's not how you do it. Well, how do you do it? I don't know. You just do it, right? There are so many things in our lives that we've just learned how to do with. Jesus had to learn all of those with his hands. He fumbled around with stuff. And he did it wrong. And his mom had to say, no, that's not how you do it. It's like this. So that this image of Mary and Jesus, mother and son, hand in hand. Mary is holding a human hand, a real hand with blood flowing in it and tendons and bones. And it's the hand of God. Mary and Jesus, mother and son, hand in hand. As a human, Jesus has human hands. The second point, just as obvious, but just as profound. As Mary's son, Jesus has a mommy. As Mary's son, Jesus has a mommy. Mary and Jesus, mother and son, hand in hand, as a little boy, you know, holding his mommy's hand. If you turn to page 316, it's the last page in this brief chapter, the very last paragraph of 316. If you're following along in a regular Bible, it's Luke 2:51. This is after they lost Jesus, after they found Jesus, after mother's got death grip on his hand, dragging him out of the city. We'll talk about this later. It says, then he, that being Jesus, then he went down to Nazareth with them, Mary and Joseph, and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus grew up. He was a little guy who had to learn things. And yeah, God of God and very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. This Jesus has an eternal relationship with God the Father as a son to a father. And yet, this same Jesus was born of Mary, and Mary's his mommy, his mother. Mom! What's for dinner? This Jesus has a mom. Which is profound enough that God would take on flesh and be born of a woman. But this first line in this very last paragraph is baffling to me. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Now the Greek word there I think is probably better translated as submissive. Jesus submitted to them. Jesus was submissive to them. This is the same word for submit that we get like in Ephesians 5, where it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Husband loves your wives. And we often go, ooh, that's kind of weird. We don't talk about that. You know, like submit's a bad word. Being submissive is a negative thing. And only weak people would be submissive. And I'm a strong, independent person, so I'm not going to submit to anybody. Jesus submitted to Mary and Joseph. Jesus was submissive to them. Why? Why would Jesus submit to Mary? Is it because she is smarter than him? No. I mean, Jesus is the very wisdom of God in flesh. Is it because she's like bigger and stronger than him and he had to submit? No. Jesus made Jupiter and beluga whales. Is it because Mary was a better person than him? Nope. She is a sinner like the rest of us. And yet Jesus was submissive to her because that's what you do. That's my big aha moment. Wait, what's the answer? Because that's what you do. Because children honor your father and your mother. That's God's will for how this life works. Children honor your father and mother. You don't honor them because they're smarter than you. And as soon as you're smarter, you don't have to. You don't honor them because they're bigger than you. And once they can't compel you, you don't have to obey them. You don't honor them because they're better people than you. Because a lot of times they're not. But you honor them because that's how this world works. And that's how God set it up. And we ourselves should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents or any other authority. But honor them and serve and obey them and love and cherish them. Because some of the people that we're called to honor, some of the people who are in authority over us, you know what? They're not smarter than us. Some of our elected officials might not be smarter than you. We still honor them. Some of our elected officials might not be stronger than you. We still honor them. Some of our elected officials might not have more character than you. Maybe. We honor them. Because that's how the world works. If Jesus, God in the flesh, can submit to the authority that he has been born into, it kind of takes away my excuse to say, yeah, I know I'm supposed to, but here's why I'm an exception. If Jesus didn't get to claim to be an exception, sorry, Roy. I mean, you and me, we just got to deal with it in this life. So Jesus is holding his mommy's hand as a mother holds her son's hand. And he lets her lead him because that's what it means to be a son. Now, the third expression of God's truth for us today is on page 310. Bottom of page 310, the very, very last line. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 47. The angel comes to let Mary know she's going to have a baby. And Mary breaks out into song. We call it the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord," or magnifies the Lord. "And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Mary needs a Savior. And through her womb, God delivered a Savior. And Jesus hung from his hands to save Mary. Jesus hung from his hands to save you. Jesus hung from his hands to bear the weight of all the brokenness of this world, that we would be whole in him. And as a little boy, Mary would squeeze Jesus' hand and hold on for dear life to protect Jesus, to make sure Jesus was safe, to make sure that Jesus got where he needed to go. But as of that crucifixion, everything flipped. No longer is Mary the one holding on to Jesus to keep him safe. But Jesus clings to Mary's hand that she would be safe. Jesus clings to your hand to keep you safe. And on good days, we kind of hold back in faith. We squeeze back. When he grips our hand, we squeeze more and we hold on tight, clinging to him, clinging to his word, trusting and holding fast to his promises. But there are a lot of days where I'm like that little guy that doesn't want my hand to be held. And Jesus holds fast. And he walks with you. And sometimes he drags me with his white knuckles where I don't want to go. And sometimes he leads me through crowded, dark places because he knows the way. And there are times when his hand on the outside of mine takes all the cold of this world. And there are times where we just sit one-on-one together and he's got a gentle caress, a tender display of affection and love. His nail-scarred hands bring life. It's on this Sunday after Easter where churches around the world are typically reading from the end of the Gospel of John when Jesus shows up and says, "Look at my hands and at my side." And we believe by faith in the resurrected Jesus, but there will be a day when we recline at table and get to eat with him. Maybe get to look at his hands the same way I used to look at my dad's hands. And touch and feel and be embraced and be held. You don't have to do this, and if it's weird, don't feel obligated. But if you came with somebody that you know, or you know the person next to you, and you want to like squeeze their hand. Hey, Aaron, I didn't tell Aaron I was going to do this. Come on up. Like, yeah.
We're a team.
Yeah, we're a team. No. I'm going to make this as weird as I can for as long as I can. No, but I'm here for you. I'm here for this guy, and I know that he's here for me, and there are people next to you that are here for you, and you're not alone in what you're walking through. We're the body of Christ together. Thanks. Jesus reigns, and he lives, and he gives life, and we experience and share that in his name, to which I say thanks be to God. Amen.